Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week, I spoke to Little about the recently announced abuse and care redress system for survivors and the recent visit of Australian Deputy PM and Defence Minister Richard Marles. I started off by asking about the new redress system and its goals.
Firstly, the new system, and the new system is in the process of being designed. So the design of the system will involve the voice of survivors and victims of abuse and state care. So we're in the process of setting up the groups that will help put that together. I think what became pretty apparent, and one of the reasons for setting up the Royal Commission in the first place was wasn't just the abuse that had happened, but the way people who had brought that to the attention of authorities and previous governments had been treated as a result. And very kind of mechanistic processes set up, not at all empathetic or sympathetic to what had actually happened to people, but just sort of processing claims. So the new redress it won't be just looking at financial compensation, but it'll be looking at the long-term needs of survivors of abuse and the ongoing support and help that they need to live their lives and live their best lives. So that's the purpose of setting up the process to design this and put that in place. That's what the Royal Commission's interim report had called for.
What kind of resources are planned to be available for survivors as part of making these amends?
Well, that's part of the design process. I mean, the Royal Commission put a price tag on it that had a huge range, anything from sort of tens of millions to billions. I think part of the engagement process now is, you know, with the benefit of the Royal Commission's interim findings at least, is to look at what is actually needed. And on a case-by-case basis too, not everybody's needs will be the same. Some people's experiences, particularly young children, were absolutely horrific. Some as younger adults, or at least adolescents, was not particularly good either, but their recovery has been much more manageable. So it's about making sure that what is put in place is relevant to each individual person and not a one-size-fits-all. And kind of where that gets to is we'll have a better picture of the resources needed once that design work is done.
When will this system plan to be available?
So it's going to take some time to put together. The lead group that's been put together has said they can report by September or October this year. That's a pretty ambitious timeline, but that's what they're very keen to do. That then gives us the basis to then shape up what the resources are that are needed and start to put processes in place. So we know that there are people in need right now. There have been people in need for a long, long time, many, many years. And the fact that those leading the design process are ambitious in the time frame to put it together, that's a good thing, and we want to give them every support they can. But until they do that work, we kind of don't know what the full dimensions of this will look like.
Well, last week you met with Richard Marles, the Australian Deputy PM and Defence Minister, on Thursday. What did you two discuss?
It was a pretty broad discussion, just about, obviously focused on the defence relationship. We know that from the announcements that Australia's been involved in about AUKUS, they are seeing a major step up in their military capability. They're focused now on acquiring nuclear-powered submarines. But we talked a bit about the context of all that as well, what's motivating them to do that, and the threats that we're all seeing, not just Australia, but other countries in the Asia-Pacific region. We talked about the implications for that on the Pacific or South Pacific generally, and about, in New Zealand, what we're doing. We're doing a defence policy review at the moment. We're starting to expect reports coming out of that in the next few months. And then, because we're two countries that have worked closely together, we're the two countries, or from New Zealand's point of view, Australia is the country we work closest with on defence sort of issues. We talked about what the implications would be for that relationship into the future, and we want to continue to strengthen that relationship.
On the South Pacific, multiple countries that are signatories to the Rarotonga Nuclear Treaty have raised concerns about Australia's acquisition of nuclear submarines. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think I've seen the Cook Islands Prime Minister, Mark Brown, is speaking about whether what Australia is doing could breach the Treaty of Rarotonga. The Treaty of Rarotonga is focused on nuclear weapons. It doesn't say anything at all about nuclear propulsion. That's been one of the issues, I think. The issues on a nuclear-free Pacific, which is what we're all committed to, it's an issue that has been sort of ongoing. Australia's program, the AUKUS program, is about them getting nuclear-propelled submarines, and it's specifically about the technology that they can acquire from the US and the UK to do that. That technology, because it's nuclear technology, is going to be specific requirements about it. They have to be compliant with the International Atomic Energy Agency requirements in terms of safety and what have you, and the IAEA is integrally involved in Australia's work in acquiring these submarines. So it is nuclear propulsion. It's not nuclear warheads. And the reality is that there are nuclear-armed countries operating in the Pacific. France is a classic. France has interests in the Pacific. We work with France. We don't work with their nuclear-armed ships and what have you, or nuclear-propelled ships. We work with their conventional ships. In fact, New Zealand recently had one of the French warships in the Devonport Naval Dockyard for several weeks undergoing repairs. Likewise, you know, we work with the UK. UK has nuclear weapons in their armaments. They don't send them down to the Pacific, but we work with the UK Defence Services and what have you, and obviously with the US. Comes through the Pacific on a regular basis. So I'm not sure the nuclear propulsion issue is certainly not in breach of the Treaty of Rarotonga, and it shouldn't get in the way of us continuing to have the relationships with our traditional partners and allies, which includes Australia, France, UK, US, and whoever else. I think this is about, for Australia, it's about them having what they think they need to deal with the issues in the region. Their focus is obviously the North and Southeast Asia. So that's the reason that they give for what they're doing.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little on the new abuse and care redress system and the recent visit of the Australian Defence Minister.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.